From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show, Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade here. Thanks so much for being with us all week long. It's been an impactful week already. We kind of knew it. Not huge surprises. We're still waiting what's going to happen in the Middle East. But we're also going to have Rich Lowry on this hour, Governor Kristi Noem. Sturgis is that big biker event over in South Dakota. The South Dakota Republican governor will be here. I'm certain she'll be in the cabinet if Trump wins. For a while, she was looked at as the likely number two or certainly a finalist. But in the end, it was obviously J.D. Vance. And now we have one, Tim Walz. We have a lot to cover today. So including with the governor, who knows Tim Walz well because they both served in Congress together. And now they're both governors. So they get to know each other and the different policies from the pandemic on down to the vaccines on down to their view on crime on down. I'm going to do the best I can to go over his background, because according to studies, 7 of every 10 never heard of him. Big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Several U.S. service members were wounded yesterday in a rocket attack on Al-Asad Air Base in western Iraq. The United States will not tolerate attacks on our personnel in the region.
But you are. When are you hitting back? Middle East mayhem, the ticking time bomb surrounding Israel on all sides is impossible to ignore. What we know now, when will we respond to the attack that the Secretary of Defense just mentioned at our base in Iraq? We even know the militia's responsible. Hurt 7 of our guys.
Number two.
I think this is this choice that Ilhan Omar wanted. This is the ticket they desired. This is the most extreme. He's known for being the Bernie Sanders of Congress.
Yeah, that's true. He looks like him. I'll tell you that. That is former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. 90 days and we're in a virtual dead heat. Where does Trump go from here? I just talked to the 45th president. He let us know his new game plan. Now that Joe was kicked to the curb and stabbed in the back by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama.
Number one.
Walz appears to fit the all-American definition of a man from middle America.
Tim Walz is a younger, you know, in that sense, a younger version of Joe Biden, pretty much in the mainstream liberal lane of the party.
That is Chuck Todd. Kamala got her man, and he's not the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. It's the lefty governor from Minnesota, Tim Walz. We look at their role, roll out and examine the record. Look. They're both very comfortable on stage. That looked good. I mean, obviously the vice president looking better, more confident. Someone told her to stop laughing, giggling, cackling, and she looks more trying to hold herself differently. Obviously, she's getting some coaching. Enough said. I appreciate people that can get on stage and feel comfortable. It's not easy. We've seen other candidates struggle with it. They're ready. But after that, I mean, people should know. If you're going to vote for them, great. But you should know what they're about. And the thing is about President Trump and J.D. Vance, they'll tell you exactly what they're about. Why? Because they'll talk to you on the street. They'll take random questions from diners. They'll take questions in town halls. They'll take questions from hostile media, which is 90% of the media. J.D. Vance took questions yesterday. So why can't we get the vice president to say, this is my record, this is what I stand for, this is what I'll do? Why can't I get Tim Walz to say, and we might, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, to say, this is my stance during COVID, everyone's locked down. I had a hotline for neighbors to turn on neighbors to see if anyone was breaking protocol. Oh, when it came to the 2020 George Floyd riots, I let it burn, I let it go wild, I kept out the National Guard. My wife said, open up the windows and let's get the smell of burning tires. And I made some ridiculous things about equity, statements about equity. And now in Minneapolis, They're down 40% of their police force because they vilified law enforcement to that extent. He's got a big record, and he's evidently got a big mouth, and I cannot wait to hear him run it because he was running it yesterday. Governor Kristi Noem knows him well over in South Dakota. Governor, welcome back. You knew him as a congressman and as a governor. What's Tim Walz like?
Well, he's a radical. I served with him for several years in Congress, and then we both ran for governor at the same time in our respective states. But when he got elected governor, he made completely different decisions for his people than I did. It was shocking for me to see what he was doing to his people that lived in Minnesota. He locked down the entire state, businesses, churches, homes, told people mandating masks and vaccines, didn't give them any opportunities. In fact, we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people from Minnesota move to South Dakota just to get away from him. And I think that showed up in his reelection as well. I mean, he didn't get reelected by wide margins. I think he only had 52% of the vote. And last year, his legislature had a bill that two-thirds of the state wanted to be annexed into South Dakota just to get away from him. So, you know, people that have had to live under his leadership have suffered. They've lost their businesses, their livelihoods, their freedoms. And, boy, if his policies had been implemented across this country, we would have lost America.
So I want you to hear what he said during the George Floyd riots. Let's listen. Cut nine.
We saw large peaceful protests focusing on the systemic changes that get to the heart of why we're in this situation. And when I say we, Minneapolis-St. Paul, the state of Minnesota, nationally, and as we've seen over the last 24 hours, internationally, a society that does not put equity and inclusion at the center of it is certainly going to eventually come to the places where we're at.
Really? So I guess it was inevitable because we're such a terrible society? Is that what do you make of this?
I think he truly believes that. I really do believe that he believes that, because when that happened, if you remember, all the riots and violence in this country started in his city. It started there, and it perpetuated out across the country from there. And during that time, he did not support his law enforcement. He did not uphold the law, and it got out of control, and people were suffered. Their businesses were burned. Crimes were happening all the time. And then when he realized it was out of control, he asked his neighboring governors, he asked us to send our National Guard to help restore law and order to the streets in Minneapolis. And, you know, it just isn't appropriate that when you're a bad leader, make bad decisions, that you have to turn to other people to try to bail you out and get you out of the situation.
Listen to his view on crime. Cut 11.
I think it takes a lot of imagination and courage.
This is his wife on crime. Listen to this.
Okay.
People, and sets people up for failure to a system that is restorative, right? That is equitable, that is healing. How many chances do you get? My answer to that is as many chances as you need, which...
That's the attitude. Let him out of prison. Don't arrest him to begin with. And if I put him in jail, make sure they're out right away. That's what, remember, they're partners in this.
I don't understand that. So there's no consequences for breaking the law? And then what kind of a country do you have if you don't have a right and a wrong? And that's the basic principles that this country was founded on and what makes sure that we have a functioning society. So when people start talking about equitable situations, I'd like to ask them how to define it, because America doesn't guarantee you equal outcomes. It gives you equal opportunities. Everybody gets an equal opportunity in this country. What you do with that opportunity is a consequence of the actions that you take. I don't think Governor Walz understands that at all, or he's twisted it into some perverted viewpoint that ends up really looking like socialism.
So last week I thought for sure it was going to be Mark Kelly, because, you know, we got the astronaut military, so-called moderate, even though he votes with Biden all the time. When he gets up for an election, he gets tough on the border. But he's got an impressive resume. Appreciate his service. Just to contrast her, he was out right away. And then I thought it was Governor Shapiro. She needs Pennsylvania, and he's a charismatic speaker. But evidently, he's got too much charisma and ambition for that. And then Van Jones said this last night on CNN, cut 15.
Is it just because he's a moderate, or is there some anti-Jewish bias here? You also have anti-Semitism that has gotten marbled into this party. You can be for the Palestinians without being an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And there's some disquiet now, and there has to be. How much of what just happened is caving into some of these darker parts in the party?
What do you think?
I think it's absolutely true. I think that's why she didn't pick Shapiro, is because she didn't want to alienate those who don't like the Jewish people and don't support Israel. I think she picked Tim Walz because he's so unknown in this country that they think they can remake him and remodel him into something that gets them elected, and then he will follow through on his radical leftist policies that he truly does believe. So he'll say one thing and do another, and that's the exact kind of puppet that she was looking for.
So just so you know, a police force shrunk by 40%, I told you, in Minneapolis. Nearly 50,000 people left the state between 2020 and 2022. A 22% increase in prices in Minneapolis from the start of Waltz's tenure. He had a surplus. Now he's got a deficit. So we know what he's done in terms of making it a sanctuary state. He's proud of it. He also says if you're an illegal immigrant, free driver's license, free room, free board, free education. He also is against vouchers that would allow people in underserved community, challenged communities, a chance to go to private schools. I'm not about to kowtow to the union. So I'm not sure that Kamala Harris knew what she bought. Do you believe she did?
No, I don't know if she thoroughly vetted him and everything that he's done and what he's done as governor. He's raised taxes. He's gone out there and mandated energy policies that are unsustainable, that his state won't be able to comply with, and put in penalties and fines that would cripple his economy. So he's not a CEO. He's not a businessman. He's not somebody who's had to balance a budget and really see what happens when you don't make some hard decisions. He's been a politician. He's a good politician that says what he thinks can get him through the situation, but actually doesn't know how to govern. And that's what should be alarming to us, is we're not picking rock stars and people to lead this country. We're picking people who literally are going to decide our future. And I hope America and the population and the public out here realize that this is a very consequential election because of how left and how radical Harris and Walls are.
Do you like the way Trump and Vance are running so far? What corrections would you make? What do you expect him to make?
Oh, I think they're working hard and they're getting out to areas where people, they need to win the hearts and minds of people that still haven't decided, you know, what they're going to do when it gets to November. So I think they're doing great. I think it should be a full court press of everybody who supports President Trump and J.D. Vance, that we can't sit home and assume that they're going to get this done on their own. It takes every single person who loves America to get out there and talk to your neighbors and talk to the people you work with and make sure that they're going to vote to put President Trump back in the White House.
Why is it so close? Why is it tied?
Oh, I think because politics is so divisive and the media is not telling the truth. If the media really put out, if you could turn on NBC, CBS, CNN, and hear the truth of what these leaders do, what they believe, I think, and how that lines up with America principles and what it would mean for our national security and our economy, I think that President Trump would win overwhelmingly. But they're not hearing that. Instead, they're demonizing people on a twisted story or playing on people's emotions, or they're casting fear. And America's just not built on fear. America's built on going after and going forward with a vision and a hope. That's what Americans need again.
This one thing I like to bring up that you could really that really resonates with you, and that's using our natural resources to help our country. And it's not just oil and gas. If you really care, if you think electric cars are the future, and we have the rare earth here in Minnesota, why are you putting a 20-year moratorium on all mining? That's exactly what Biden did with the blessing of the governor. And yet they still want to green the economy and make 50% of all cars in Minnesota by 2030 electric. You can't have it both ways, Governor.
No, that's exactly right. That's what, if we need to rely on ourselves. That should be the first question that we ask ourselves on every policy when it comes to food security and energy security, because that's what holds this country together and keeps us functioning. And it should be, how do we depend only on ourselves? What concerns me is what Governor Walz has believed and supported over the years makes us much more reliant on our enemies and countries that hate us to get our energy supply and to get our food supply. And that's a national security issue. If he doesn't understand that, he's either doing it on purpose and supporting those policies because he wants to weaken America or because he just simply doesn't understand, and that's even scarier.
Do you feel as though the Trump campaign has reached out to people like you to have a role over the next 90 days?
I think that they can and they will. I think that they need to get every single surrogate that they have out on the trail telling their story and their successes and why what Trump and Vance believe is good for families that are trying to put food on the table and how it's going to open up, you know, more opportunities for them to get a better job and pay their bills and have a retirement fund and get their kids through school. So I think every single person needs to be out there as much as possible telling that, men, women, families, faith leaders, people who are running businesses. It just is powerful when you hear it from someone that's from your community or someone who's in the same profession or job as you, it's different than when you hear it just from one candidate. When you've got the endorsement of people that believe in you and you hear from them, it gives you a credibility that I think we're going to need when it comes to a victory on November 5th.
Governor Kristi Noem, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Always great talk to you. All right. Listen, when we come back, it's your first chance to talk. It's going to be a shorter segment. Your chance to talk about the new ticket and this new matchup that's now complete, you would assume, barring any other surprises. Then Rich Lowry in National Review. And then we'll continue to unwind with who Tim Walz is. Comfortable on his feet, comfortable on camera, but what he believes is something we should all know. And you're about to find out. Don't move.
Covering this election year like no other, it's Brian Kilmeade.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown. Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
He froze in the face of the COVID crisis. He drove our economy into the ground. And make no mistake, violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed.
All right. By the way, any violent crime was done in places like Seattle and Portland and Minnesota and Chicago and New York. And what he would do is offer National Guard to get in there. And sometimes they would. And national troops to go in there in Seattle. But in those other states, when the mayors weren't out of control, wild liberals, they would be down. And there was a sense of law and order in America back then and a sense that person in the White House cared about cops. Nobody says that. Also, Donald Trump didn't freeze in the face of the pandemic. It's a once in a generation and a half occurrence. And number two, you don't have Operation Warp Speed that gives you a vaccine and have that in record time and freeze in the face of the pandemic. The PPE right in the face of a pandemic, trying to figure out on the fly, are you crazy? And let me give you this stat that I think is the most telling. With a vaccine, Joe Biden and all his crazy mandates and locking out of schools had more deaths than Donald Trump when we didn't even know what hit us when they were piling up bodies in New York City. So this is the guy that stopped you from going outside, that poured sand in skate parks and wanted neighbors to report on you during the pandemic, while North Dakota, South Dakota, all around him were saying, live and let live. Take your own chances. You compromise. But I tell you, it is a dry hole to talk about the pandemic. If you want to criticize President Trump pushing to open up too fast, all right, good luck with that. Because in retrospect, Joe Biden got no pushback for keeping kids out of school. And now what do we have? Kids that are all having problems emotionally, academically, still struggling in many cases. I know people personally, athletes that are still a little weary about going outside. You have, I think, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's daughter walking around, afraid to go outside without a mask on. These are people who have plenty of money. But you have freaked out generations because you kept the schools locked down because of that 6 feet apart rule, which we found out is not based in science at all. Because you can't keep desks apart 6 feet and get full classrooms back. So if they want to go bring up stuff that doesn't matter, act like law and order was not a priority for President Trump, there's nobody who thinks that. It used to be the opposite. He's so into law and order. We want somebody a little bit easier with crime. What do we got? A lot of crime.
If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So much going on right now. Tim Walz is going to be the running mate of Kamala Harris. And what people say is, wow, he's a football coach. He's a guy who likes to build bridges and work together. You won a congressional seat, which was typically a purple seat or a red seat, and he won it. Then he won two times in Minnesota. who does have a history of electing Republican governors, so he's got to be logical. But then you look at his record, it is way to the left. And even Nancy Pelosi is like, oh, he's up the middle. You know it's a lie if Nancy Pelosi is saying it. Just like Joe Biden is a great American, belongs on Mount Rushmore. Does anyone believe that? That's as much as you should believe Tim Walz. Now, most of you don't know anything about him. One person who does is Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, author of The Case for Nationalism. Hey, Rich, what should we know about Kamala Harris's running mate, and what do you think of the selection?
I was shocked by it, the way a lot of Republicans were. I just thought Shapiro was a no-brainer, a popular governor from the most important swing state who wasn't going to deliver Pennsylvania to her, but could have made a difference, 10,000, 20,000 votes. That could swing the entire election. And so that she passed him over for Tim Walz still doesn't make any sense to me. I have to say, he does seem to be a pretty good performer. That was a pretty lively speech he gave yesterday. And he provides demographic and geographic balance, but ideologically, he doubles down and represents everything she said in 2019 and 2020 that she's trying to run away from. So that doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Bernie Sanders is an old white guy, too, from a different part of the country, but that doesn't make him any less a socialist. So there's a lot of targets here for Republicans to fire at.
I mean, do you ever take a step back and say, why are you so afraid of talking about what you believe in? Why are you afraid of just saying I'm a liberal? Why don't you just say that, you know, I'm a socialist? That has a lot of meaning. So America probably wouldn't embrace that. But just say, hey, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. This is what I've done. I'm very proud of giving every student lunch and breakfast. I'm very proud of being a sanctuary state. I'm very proud of giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses. I'm very proud of giving them room, board, and an education for free on taxpayer dollars. I'm not writing any checks. Why don't you just say that? Like, what's the big deal? I'm pro-green, but I'm not pro-mining, even though we got rare earth right in our state. Doesn't matter. I'm not into that. Why don't they just embrace their track record? What's the problem?
Well, he's been pretty open about it. And on that cringe-making white males for Kamala call, you know, he said one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness, which is just a way of saying these socialistic policies are just the decent thing to do. I mean, that's what he believes, and that's a clip we've seen spreading because it represents what he believes. But of course, the top of the ticket is not being honest at all. I mean, I think Harris is legitimately a vacuous, highly ambitious person who is a laughter. She never would have said any of the stuff she said in 19 and 20. And again, she could have had a relative, I underline relative. I mean, not as though Shapiro was different from Democrats on many things. He's just pro-Israel and denounced the Gaza protesters and dealt with Republicans on school choice in the legislature. That's enough in today's terms to make him a moderate. But she clearly didn't want that. She is much more comfortable with the pure left-winger. And as Trump said yesterday, this is the most left-wing ticket we've had in our history. I think the only thing maybe would be comparable would be FDR and Wallace, you know, who's a fellow traveler in 1940. But even they weren't woke. You know, they had very traditional attitudes.
So, Rich, here's the question. I know what you said in the past, like what he said in the past. Everything that I just said, he said, he's on record, I'll play it. But do you think America will going to elect that? Or is he going to say, you know, I've changed my views. So that's good for Minnesota, but it's not good. Don't you think there'll be some type of pivot? For example, if you're anti-fracking, you're not going to get elected. So now you have Tim Murphy coming out saying fracking's gotten better since she made those comments. It's gotten safer.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, so this is Tim Walz talking just 6 days ago. Cut seven.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
The more police are there, the more tension it is. The more tension it is, the more chance you have to get things.
Protecting and supporting access to gender-affirming health care is essential.
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder.
We saw large, peaceful protests focusing on the systemic changes.
And those comments were made after the 2020 riots. George Floyd, he gave birth to them. And the last comment was the most recent. And the middle was 2021. The other one was 2023, protecting and supporting gender-affirming care. So, I mean, that's not going to fall. I mean, these are loser messages to the Midwest. So don't tell me this guy was hired to deliver the Midwest and saying that. Do you think he's going to be saying that?
he'll adopt every position that Kamala Harris has now and readjust. And all that stuff, you know, Republicans don't need to win the war over Tim Walz. You know, that's not the main battlefront. They need to use all that to make the case about what Kamala Harris truly believes. It all needs to come back to Harris. And clearly, we saw yesterday, they're doing a future versus past, versus old campaign. And those are very powerful themes in American life and American politics. And Trump needs to make the case in a very disciplined way. No, she's not new. She's central to this failed administration. And her vision of the future is dystopian and wrong for America. But it's got to be really concentrated and focused.
Right. But what is her track record? There's nothing on her website. She does it. You know, we're hearing through surrogates she changed her mind. And we, you know, in the meantime, if you're with the Trump camp, knowing that the DNC is starting shortly in a week and she's got the momentum of naming a running mate, how can you smoke her out to voice her opinions?
Well, it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's just amazing. It's been 14 days or whatever it is, maybe a couple 16. More now. 16. It's the most amazing turnabout that's ever happened in American politics.
It
she's
is.
Been the beneficiary of it. We haven't heard one word from her in her own words, how it happened, how she feels about it, how she wants to lead in the wake of it. None of that. None of that. And I'm not aware. I imagine she'll do a dual interview with Walz somewhere, right? That would be the normal thing to do. At least, you know, go talk to Rachel Maddow. But I haven't heard anything about such a thing being scheduled. So they're obviously scared to death of her being in any unscripted moment, which is ironic because they're scared to death of Joe Biden being in unscripted moments. And they're right, you know, and it destroyed him ultimately. But they've replaced her with someone they're scared of and don't trust without a teleprompter, too.
So Josh Shapiro did get it, they said, because they're afraid he's going to outshine him. Other people said it's afraid of the Palestinian vote in Michigan. Other people have said that he wanted too much out of that second spot. So what do you think it is?
It's really hard to know without directly talking to the participants, the inner sanctum. You got to think at a certain level the criticisms of Shapiro on Israel made a difference in the worry about what effect that might have in Michigan. And that's just disgusting. I mean, it's basically because the guy's a pro-Israel Jew, and he's not radically pro-Israel. I mean, he's critical of Netanyahu. It's pretty much a consensus Democratic position, and he's Jewish. And that's intolerable to the pro-Hamas left. So that had to figure into the calculations at a certain level. But it is true that it is a very personal choice, and it matters who you like and who you get along with. And I think there's a legitimate reason for her to worry about being Shapiro outshining her. But I think Walz outshined her yesterday, too. I think she's not very good at this. She feels completely fake and artificial. She's clearly reading someone else's words, whereas someone like Walz can actually create the perception, at least, that he's a human being.
But this is what they're up against. And I know you know it, but until you actually see it at this level, first, everyone's covering for Joe Biden in a way I never thought possible. Then they all wanted to drank their reality show and said he's shot, got rid of him. And in a way I never thought, I never saw people without any conscience would just turn on a guy and pretend as if we weren't saying this the whole time, like me and you. And they turn on him, they stab him in the back, they kick him to the curb, didn't even mention him yesterday during that announcement of Tim Walz, which is crazy. Not even a mention of Joe Biden. So, listen, I don't like the guy. I think he was an awful president. But it's unbelievably disrespectful to not even mention him on that stage. But they didn't. And now listen who has his back. The media. Cut 13.
Walz appears to fit the all-American definition of a man from middle America.
I think you got the hillbilly elegy against the real hillbilly.
He has this folksy, personal, informal vibe.
Tim Walz is a younger, you know, in that sense, a younger version of Joe Biden, pretty much in the mainstream liberal lane of the party.
So, look, he's going to have a cakewalk until he and she can't answer a question or are forced to say, why are you changing? What do you stand for? What will you do?
Yeah, she hasn't had a bad news cycle since her ascension, and the media is determined to see that she doesn't have a bad news cycle. I think it's important to hit and point out that she's not doing interviews. I think J.D. Vance did it very effectively yesterday, and the effectiveness was underlined by the fact that he was just taking random questions from the press and was happy to address anything they had, and in the course of doing that, pointed out that Kamala won't do the same thing. But in the debate, Brian's going to be so important, debate or debates. Trump needs these debates. It turns out to been a mistake to debate Biden, at least prior to the convention. It didn't work out for him because, you know, Biden's gone away and you have a stronger candidate now. But that's going to be one of the main means of smoking her out, because it's not like she's going to be sitting down with reporters every day.
So, yeah, by the way, he said to us today, I don't know if we have that cut, about the debates. He said, yeah, I'll be debating. We're discussing it. And I didn't want to get into detail. But he says, I want to do it on Fox, Martha and Brett. And then he also said that, you know, ABC, why would I go on that network? Plus, he's in litigation with George Stephanopoulos. So I guess they could use, who's the ABC anchor? Is it Bill Muir? David Muir?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
David Muir, I guess, would do it. I mean, I don't remember if he, I think he's a pretty fair guy. I hope so. Jake Tapper, yeah, with unbelievable hatred towards Trump, did a good job.
Yeah. I think, you know, Trump is like all the above. You know, I understand why he doesn't want to do an ABC debate, particularly after that interaction with that ABC reporter at the Black Journalist event. But more debates are the better. If he could have three, I think he should take all of them. Again, because there's no – if this had been a typical campaign, right, but Biden had said last year, I'm not running, it's an open field, she would have had to interact with voters in real time in a way you can't hide in New Hampshire and Iowa. She would have had to do all sorts of interviews. There would have been all her positions would have been litigated. Any change would have been under a microscope. Her opponents would have litigated, even if the press hadn't. And the press would have litigated it as well, because the press might have felt, you know, it was a better candidate. But she skipped all that. And you know, you look at yesterday, and she has this enthusiasm like she's through the primaries, right? She won every single one. She didn't win a thing. So she skipped all the difficulties and had this thing handed to a platter. And the press adulation and the relief among Democrats to be done with Biden has just created this surge, and it's real. You know, we're seeing it in the polling. It's a tied race now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a tied race. But keep in mind, Rich, as bad and as addled as Biden is, it was still 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
America's dug in. They're dug in against Trump, all in or all out, and they're dug in on their parties.
Yep. No, that's true. And it may have been – maybe this wasn't so true by the end, because Biden had fallen so far. But it was conceivable that in October we would have seen this kind of effect we're seeing now, which is just – so far it's Democrats coming home. A little more than that, because she's picked up on some attributes that Biden had fallen off on in the polling in terms of, you know, what you're looking for a president, cares about you, has the right temperament and that kind of stuff. But you're right, the polling has really snapped back to what it was a couple months before the debate, which was Biden would occasionally be leading and occasionally be behind, and we're right back in that space. The thing that hasn't changed is Trump has a huge advantage on the economy and on the border, and obviously he should just be hammering that home.
Rich Lowry, thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's going to be exciting.
You
got to go. Somebody's got to go win it. Nothing's just going to happen on a great ad or a great line. You got to go win it, and we'll see what happens. Thanks, Rich. The president talks about policies. That's his greatest advantage, his track record and his policies. Very rarely can you say that. If you just keep to both those things, you win. You win the debate and you win the election. Other stuff just got to go. It's all a distraction. But what do you think? And we'll find out more. Also, yesterday there were comics for Kamala yesterday. Didn't go as well as you might think. Don't move.
It's Brian Kilmeade. Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Who's excited for Tim Walz?
Yeah, who isn't? He's a Midwest princess.
I love Tim Walz.
I'm liking him. He's kind of new to my radar screen.
Why do we like him? Because he's likable. And because if we want to call a spade, he's non-threatening.
I don't know too much about him except what I read this morning.
Tim Walz is giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses.
Giving illegal immigrants driver's license? I personally have not heard about that.
I also don't necessarily believe that a person is illegal.
Quite frankly, if you're not made of a Native American, you're an immigrant anyway.
Illegal immigrants' driver's license? No, that's not a good thing.
He's putting tampons in little boys' bathrooms?
Get out of here. I am going to do my research on him. That don't sound good at all.
Yeah, it's not, but it's all true. Johnny was up with from Jesse's show, was out and about at a rally for Harrison Walz yesterday in Philadelphia. So you got that instant feedback. The more you find out, the more it's going to really question. So are you for giving illegal immigrants room, board, food, school? That's what he stands for. Unless he says, well, I'd love to do it, but Kamala doesn't want me to. Really? From the sanctuary state of California, which she supported, full voice, and then one of sanctuary state of Minnesota? Don't pick them then. So at one point, they're going to have to say something. Aaron Perini, a Axiom strategist, former Trumper, worked in the Trump administration, talked about Governor Waltz. Cut 26.
Governor Waltz is a socialist in sheep's clothing. He looks like your neighbor. He looks like your uncle. But in reality, he has pushed not only bigger government spending, but he has also pushed radical left ideologies in the state of Minnesota. In Minnesota, they saw a budget surplus. And instead of giving that money back to the taxpayers and saying, you can decide how to spend your own money, he tried to raise taxes on Minnesotans for more government spending. This is what we need to be talking about as Republicans. These are radical ideologies that mean that American people are going to have less money in their pockets when the economy is their number one issue right now.
That is an attack line for J.D. Vance, which he's going to be. He's very nimble. He was answering questions yesterday. Believe this? You have a 39, now 40, a 40-year-old vice president. First one, he's only 2 years in Senate. He goes with the national media. Anybody have any questions? And he answers them. She's a sitting vice president, won't answer anything. And the one time she did answer a question is when the prisoner swap took place. She answered a question, and she was all over the place about what it feels like to get these home and the role that she played. Meanwhile, the president of the United States, in the middle of an economic crisis, certainly a challenge, in the middle of a Middle East crisis in every way, shape, or form, the thing's about to explode. We have Iran 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon. Can you tell me where you stand? F-16s got delivered in Ukraine. Do you have anything to say? Nowhere. You have a press secretary who has nothing to say. You have a president that has nothing to do. You have a vice president who doesn't even acknowledge the president, except for saying, I did call him and tell him about Tim Walz. Nobody's running the country. This is when our enemies get together, and they're together thanks to Joe Biden, and they say this might be an opportunity to strike. Keep in mind, Kamala Harris, they found this. She says, I absolutely would cut the defense budget in order to fund programs for underprivileged kids and people. We cannot cut the defense budget. Why would you hire anybody that looks at this world and our military and wants to cut back on defense? Audit and increase. Same time. A lot of wasted money. And input, after the audit's done and the study's complete, do what the actual study says to do this time, because that's a waste of money. Brian Kilmeade. Thanks so much. Don't forget One Nation Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. I come to you from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan, but heard around the country, around the world. It's great to be here. Selena Zito is going to be with us shortly. Selena was with the president the day he was the assassination attempt took place and got one of the first interviews right afterwards. She's Pittsburgh-based reporter. If you want to know what's going on in Pennsylvania, she's one-stop shopping. She writes for the Washington Examiner, and she has a current piece out in the Free Press. Also, this hour, we got some more surprises. We've got to keep you up to date on what's happening in the Middle East. Now, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Several U.S. service members were wounded yesterday in a rocket attack on Al-Asad Air Base in western Iraq. The United States will not tolerate attacks on our personnel in the region.
But you haven't done anything yet, Lloyd Austin, Defense Secretary, Middle East mayhem. Our guys got attacked, 7 are hurt, right in Iraq, no response. The ticking time bomb surrounding Israel is real. Iran and Hezbollah plan on attacking. When it happens, are they ready? We'll discuss it.
Number two.
I think this is this choice that Ilhan Omar wanted. This is the ticket they desired. This is the most extreme. He's known for being the Bernie Sanders of Congress.
Yep, Kevin McCarthy, 90 days, we're in a virtual dead heat. Where does Trump go from here? I just talked to the 45th president, and he let me know his new game plan. And Joe was kicked to the curb, stabbed in the back by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, what that all means.
Number one.
Waltz appears to fit the all-American definition of a man from middle America.
Tim Walz is a younger, you know, in that sense, a younger version of Joe Biden, very much in the mainstream liberal lane of the party.
But really, was Joe Biden told? We were told he was a moderate. What's going on here, Chuck Todd? Kamala gets her man, and he's not the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. It's the lefty governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. We're going to look at their role and examine his record. Selena Zito joins us now. Selena, the president of the United States, I don't know if we have the soundbite. Do we have the soundbite of the president of the United States talking about his reaction to this ticket? Well, he came out and he said he was stunned. He was surprised. And he's happy about this election. Should he be?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to draw contrasts to your positions and your worldview and where you want to take the country, and you contrast that with the Harris-Walz ticket, it is it should make him happy. Josh Shapiro has governed moderately. I would say in his heart he is a liberal, but I would not call him a far left progressive. He has a great approval rating in my home state. It's at 64%, and he would have been, at least on paper, formidable to run against because, yeah, believe it or not, there are Trump Shapiro voters in my state in the most important counties like Erie. Walz is a completely different story. While he was a member of Congress and he served in a district that was center right, he had won that seat in 2006 from a Republican. It's a Republican seat. And so when he was in Congress, he had to sort of govern or legislate as a center right Democrat. However, that's when he was one of 400. As someone who is running an entire state, he has shed that premise and has run as and governed as what he is in his heart, and that is far left.
And that's important because David Plouffe was on record. He was on another network. He's going to be a special consultant over these 90 days. You know, he helped get Obama elected. Here's what he said.
People are going to vote on Harris and Trump. Let's not mistake that. But a VP can go to many places, can almost double your coverage. I think Tim Walz is going to be super effective in places like Western Pennsylvania, Central Pennsylvania, Western Wisconsin, rural Georgia, the northern part of Nevada, places where he can speak about his values, his biography, and what he accomplished. And of course, if J.D. Vance decides to debate, you know, Donald Trump right now is in the mode of ducking debates. I look forward to that debate.
So, do you think that, you know, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, can he be a benefit?
Okay, I live in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's always a little bit insulting to people who live in places and place is a very deeply part of their identity. And someone who is part of the elite who doesn't live in Western Pennsylvania, who thinks just because someone talks with a Midwestern accent, he's going to be accepted as one of our own. And that's always very insulting. That was sort of the game plan with Tim Kaine. That didn't work very well. And voters are much more intelligent than I think elites give them credit for. They think just right, because someone talks like you, you're going to like them. Well, you might like them, but it doesn't mean you're going to vote for them.
Right. Listen to this tact that Governor Walz is really proud of. Cut three.
I just have to say it. You know it. You feel it. These guys are creepy and, yes, just weird as hell. That's what you see. That's what you see. So you know what's out there. So say it with me. We aren't going back. We're not going back.
So, why is it weird and creepy? What are you, nine? And by the way, what is normal? Is he normal? Do we have to act more like Tim Walz to be normal? Why did they embrace it? Why do they think it's working?
Well, the fact is, it's not working. It's working about as much as basketball deplorables worked. I mean, why do you think insulting people is a great way to win them over? Right. It is always astounding to me. It's no different than calling them bitter and clinging to their gun and their Bibles. There's always this sense of otherness for people who live in the middle of the country. And I think it took a while for people to wise up to the tactic, but I think 2016 proved there was little tolerance left for it. And I think the weird tactic, I mean, Democrats forever and a day have been sort of touting this counterculture that was supposed to be acceptable in the middle of the country, and it's not allowed to be referred to as weird. However, they can call people in the middle of the country, and by the way, they're not just calling Trump or Vance weird. When they call them weird, they're calling all y'all weird. That's the whole.
Yeah, that's the understanding. Yeah. These guys are weird. Really? 70 million people voted for them. Aren't you afraid of insulting them? Guess not. We want to be a unifier. I want for everyone. Yeah, except for the people that think that don't think Donald Trump is weird. And by the way, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's been in the public eye for 60 years. We don't need Tim Walz to tell us who he is. We want to know who Tim Walz is. So, Selena, what's going to be the strategy if they don't do many interviews and there's only 90 days left and there was no primaries? What's the strategy? Have you talked to their camp?
So this is a base. When they pick Walz, they were telling us this is a base election. If it was not a base election, they would have not held their first rally in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They would have held it in Erie, Pennsylvania. They are telling you in the middle of the country, while we picked, you know, Coach Walz to appeal to you, we're not really coming. You don't matter. Philadelphia matters. And that has been sort of the challenge for Democrats. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia will always have a large turnout. However, those turnouts have a ceiling. And what matters is the counties like Cambria, Erie, Northampton, yeah, Luzerne. Those 500 votes, 600 votes in each of those counties are going to be the ones that make this race up. Not what happens in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Does she run better than he does, even though he's from Pennsylvania, meaning Biden?
She hasn't said anything about what she stands for, what she previously stood for, and what my profession had been knocking her for is not only being left of the principal, meaning being left of Biden, who at least could exercise previous working class chops. She has not presented her, I mean, she's from San Francisco. Like, you go to Johnstown, Pennsylvania, what do you have common in terms of those policies and the policies that on the economy that they care about?
And I'll tell you, if you think that California values would never work in Pennsylvania, and I don't, why would you bring the same values that are in Minnesota, that are in California, and then ask that guy to go sell Pennsylvania? Because he is from a rural background. He said he worked on the farm as a kid in Nebraska. I assume it's real. I think it's great that he served in the military, in the National Guard, but reportedly some of his guys are on television saying it was time to go to Iraq. He wouldn't go. He resigned, and they felt his guys felt abandoned. That's something he might want to address, because there's a lot of military guys, men and women out there that probably don't take kindly to that, but I appreciate his service. So it's kind of weird because he talks like he's a Midwesterner, like you said. His record is not as governor. So I think that I just don't know if they, I know they talked about personal chemistry, but in terms of policy, he does not help.
But you have to understand their worldview, and you have to understand who works on their campaign. The people that work on the campaign and the principal's worldview is not center left, but it is far left. And they are surrounded by people who share their worldview. And they what would be better for them is if they had had someone in their campaign who went to a state college and came from, you know, Michigan.
Yeah.
But everything they're orchestrating is coming from a bubble. And while that is great in the super zip codes that they live, right, where our cultural curators operate, meaning corporations, institution, government, politics, that is not where the most important voters who will decide this election in Erie County they do not share that worldview. So I don't understand why I don't understand the pick in terms of logic. However, I do understand the pick in that they're telling you this is who we are, this is how we're going to govern.
Pittsburgh-based.
It's that simple.
Pittsburgh-based reporter Selena Zito, who writes for the Washington Examiner, he has a column right now in the Free Press. But Selena, tell me what Governor Shapiro would have done.
So I think that Governor Shapiro, I have covered Josh for 20 plus years. He is a nimble political athlete. He is a moderate. He has governed moderately. And he wisely knows where to show up. When he announced he was running for governor, he announced it in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. He didn't announce it in Philadelphia. And so he understood that, and he would be able to be persuadable to maybe just enough voters that it was safe to vote for Harris. The downside of Shapiro doing this is that he would not drag her to the middle. She would drag him to the left, and that would have been problematic for Shapiro going forward in his future to run for president on his own.
Yeah, Selena, thanks so much. Appreciated you. You're going to have a lot of action with you. And lastly, McCormick is still trailing 3 or 4 points to Casey. Is there a plan in place with the McCormick team to close that gap that you're convinced might be effective?
Yeah, I think that they have slowly but effectively chipped away at Casey's. I mean, I think Casey started out with an 11-point lead when this started out. I think with this race, he understood the mission, and the mission was to get voters to know him, get voters to hear him, show up everywhere. He's been to all 67 counties, I think, at this point almost twice. That kind of retail politics really, really matters in this state. And on policy, he has wisely tied Casey to Biden and Harris, but he has also wisely tied himself to Trump. And, you know, in an election cycle like, you know, I mean, the problem for Casey in my state is he has been in office for 3 terms. That's, first of all, that's never happened. We've never had a U.S. senator to run for a 4th term. And he doesn't have any sort of legislative chops that he can point to and say, I got this done. And he's also like emotionally and geographically tied to Biden and voters who are already leaving him in droves.
So interesting, because McCormick on paper really is impressive, from this treasury to the West Point background, to going over to war, to coming back, being a self-made millionaire. And being an athlete, growing up in Pennsylvania, wrestling. His parents, I think, were at Lehigh, was it? I'm not sure what college they were actually running. One was president of a Pennsylvania college, where he basically grew up on campus. So there's so much about his story that's great. If a Republican can win there, you'd think it would be a guy like Dave McCormick.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Selena Zito. Appreciate
it. You too.
All right, we come back. We'll be able to squeeze in some calls, 1-866-408-7669. We also have not touched on the Middle East mayhem and what could be going on behind the scenes here. Don't move.
You're with Brian Kilmeade. Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I would say my reaction is I can't believe it. I never thought this was going to be the one that was picked. I know him a little bit. I helped him very much during the riots because his house was surrounded. And he called me back and he thanked me very much. That's my only thing I ever had to do with him. He's a very, very liberal man, and he's a shocking pick, and I'm thrilled. I could not be more thrilled.
So President Trump on with Fox and Friends 1 hour ago, the first time commenting on this ticket. Paul, you're in Florida. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening. Good morning. I'm from Palm Beach County, Florida. I'm a Democrat, and I like listening to your show because I like to hear what the other side's saying. I have to take issue, and I'm not going to defend anybody, calling anybody names, but the guest you just had on, the hypocrisy of her bringing up how the vice presidential nominee used name calling like weird and crazy, but never mentioned all the name calling. And he does do it, as does J.D. Vance, that Trump uses in J.D. Vance. Never brought that up. Never took, you know, took issue with those,
you know,
that. Guys.
And you know what? I fall into the same category, Paul. I would say this. I can't figure it out. I'm not saying that you should do it. I don't understand why you make up rules that J.D. Vance has eyeliner, which he doesn't. It's where he was born. And just saying somebody's weird is bizarre to me.
And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but she did not take issue with the name calling that the other two guys make, who, you know, Trump and J.D. Vance. Do they not use a lot of name calling and make up names and all that? Do they not do that?
They absolutely do that. And what they do is they base it on what they believe. Do you really believe that Trump and J.D. Vance are weird? This is like one of the most famous men in the world. And J.D. Vance is, they got a book and a movie on his life. I mean, it's unusual to have this type of success, but I think weird is bizarre. And to get traction on the weird and to think it's some genius word, I don't know. I don't see it. But it's a good point. The other side does names too. Listen, when we come back, we'll take some more of your calls and bring you up to date. J.D. Vance speaking now.
Fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
The more police are there, the more tension it is. The more tension it is, the more chance you have to get things.
Protecting and supporting access to gender-affirming health care is essential.
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder.
We saw large, peaceful protests focusing on the systemic changes.
So that is just a little of Tim Walz. 70% of you, that's 7 out of every 10, don't have any opinion of him. I just saw a poll that says he got 17% approval rating. Normally that means it's terrible. Do you know what? 70% of that same poll say, we don't know who he is. So I'll help you with that, because it doesn't seem like anybody else has any interest in helping you with that outside our channel, our show. And I'm not going to, I'll point out the good things. I'll tell you right now, very comfortable who he is. Very comfortable off camera, on camera, on stage, off stage, no problem. He was a vicious defender of Joe Biden. Not one word. If you said anything about Joe Biden failing, having memory lapses, not being able to walk off stage, shuffling around, not knowing what his name is, he was crazy. He was the number one surrogate. He's so much better than Trump. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. The next day that he's gone, not one word like Joe Biden, great guy. I miss him. I was misled. The only reason Joe Biden's on the race is because he's failing. He froze. He's failing. He's having physical problems. So would anyone tell you different? It's not that people didn't like his style. It's not that the Democratic Party didn't like what he did, because he did everything for them. They think that he is failing because Kamala Harris is doing the same thing that Joe Biden did because she was vice president and prides herself on being in the same room. So I'll tell you, I mean, obviously he doesn't need any training for on camera. He doesn't need any training for interviews. Doesn't need training, media training at all. But it's what he's done that's important. What he is a left-wing governor who can't balance a budget and just threw away a surplus. Also, on abortion, I don't like talking about abortion, period. Always told stay away from it. It's too polarizing. But now we got to talk about it. So when Roe v. Wade was overturned, he quickly put on the books that you can get an abortion, to the point where he signed into law legislation that includes no limits on when a woman may end the life of her unborn baby. So everyone says, well, that's just in theory. That never happens. So that's not true. Walz's history on born-alive abortions. In summer of 2022, Walz was steaming towards re-election as Minnesota governor. His state health agency published a required abortion statistics. The report with little fanfare, but it included this. There was a secret that is a secret certain to catapult to a national prominence now that Walz has been selected to be Kamala Harris's running mate, the story goes. In Walz's state and on his watch, five infants were born alive in 2021 during failed abortions, and none were provided life-saving care, though two got comfort care. Good luck with that. So are you that pro-abortion that you want a baby born and killed? Because that's what he's going to have to defend. Hey, Bob, you're in Minnesota. Tell me the governor you know.
Well, I guess this point kind of probably was made with regards to COVID and Governor Cuomo in New York, where, you know, we had – he used to come – I mean, he was very – he communicated 2 o'clock pretty much every day. He did a daily update online yep. talking about COVID. And he kind of was bragging to the point that we are going to – I'm going to lead and show how this was going to be handled.
And how was it handled? Nation. How was it handled, Bob?
Well, the death rate – well, one thing, Minnesota, if you look at a map, Minnesota is right in the middle.
Yep.
And there's a, you can see the wave coming. You could see all the people dying in the nursing homes. And he pretty much did exactly what Cuomo did. People
really?
Were getting sick. People were getting sick. Put them in, let's put them into the nursing homes. And if you look at the death rate and the elderly, it was huge. So...
so that's important. We're going to take a look at that because he was very proud of setting up a hotline so you could report on your neighbor. That is true, Bob. You could report on your neighbor if they were breaking protocol.
I did hear that. I guess I did not know that at the time, to be honest.
So would you vote for him?
I would not vote for him. No. I mean, I think with his decisions or lack thereof regarding the riots, what I think his decisions caused the nation to was the start of the whole nation's divisiveness. I think he was worse than anybody when it came to the divisiveness and the rioting. You know, let it happen.
You guys were terrible. You let it all take place, and Trump was trying to crack down, and they said, leave him alone. America's a racist country. Let Minneapolis burn. Abandon the police station. Let's reimagine police. Let's cancel police. And you guys started it. And when Trump came in, he was a thug, and he was a racist. Now they say, well, he froze during the pandemic. I'll tell you who froze. Thanks so much, Bob. The reality check of Minnesota. Peter in Houston. Hey, Peter.
Brian, I'm Peter Fuller. I'm calling you from Houston, Texas, and I'm actually running against Dan Crenshaw. I'm the Democratic nominee, and thanks so much for taking my call. But I did.
Yeah, Peter, I can't. I'm not gonna get in the middle of this, and you can't lie about who you are. That's not a good start. Sue in Pennsylvania. Hey, Sue.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling. I'm a recently widowed. My husband died of dementia. And I'm just calling to express my concern where our president is, why he is not being visible to the people of the United States.
Unbelievable. You know, that was the question. That's the question we have every day, even when he was supposedly doing the job working so great behind the scenes. We don't believe it. And you don't believe it, Sue. So now we got a statement from the White House saying that he's working very hard to keep through political back channels to keep Iran from hitting back at Israel for the assassination of Haniyeh who's a Hamas leader right in Tehran, their capital. So they evidently were working behind the scenes to do that. And he gave a big statement about a statement. He didn't give it. It was a written statement about what he was doing behind the scenes. But that's all we got. We have a candidate that wasn't campaigning. We have a president that doesn't show up. When he realized he was losing his nomination, he showed up for 7 straight days. And this party still kicked him to the curb. So no one talks about that. He wasn't even mentioned last night on the stage in Philadelphia. And that's what this party is capable of doing. They totally lie to you. They vilify you when you bring up that the president's failing, that he's too old, that he can't possibly serve to 86 years old. And he can't do the job now, that he eats half his words. He makes no sense, never takes questions to do in press conferences. If you're a member of the press, not on this show or this network, and you bring that up, well, what's the big deal? Why does he have to get press conferences? Really? What do you do for a living? Aren't you supposed to get answers from lawmakers and decision makers and the president? Why else cover the White House? KJP is not in any meetings. She has no answers to anything. She doesn't know policy, doesn't know issues. She wanted to be the first. She wanted to be the first minority, first lesbian, first everything. And she's done such a terrible job. When they tried to get rid of her, she used all that reportedly behind the scenes to say, you can't fire me. So they bring in Admiral Kirby to answer the tough questions. because the world's on fire because we don't have a president. And when he does speak up, his foreign policy is absolutely as awful as advertised. Frank in New York. Hey, Frank.
Yes. Hi, Brian. I was shocked and surprised how Kamala chose Mr. Waltz. You know, I have a little bit of experience with two families that are from Minnesota, which is Derek Chauvin. I knew him when I was a small child.
Really?
Okay, unfortunately, this problem arises with him. And the Ingalls family, who lived, they came from Wisconsin, from Pelican to Walnut Grove, to St. Louis, and then to the Bronx, and now presently in Queens, that would be Karen Ingalls and Melissa Ingalls. And they know the gentleman from Minnesota, and he is a man who can't be accused of radicalizing or stating things that are negative towards our national policy or the way our politicians proceed. But I believe that the ticket of Kamala Harris and Waltz is a damaging ticket to other Democrats who probably don't support their policies. Like, many people don't support the policy of Kamala Harris being a California federal prosecutor. They prefer someone else. They also don't prefer that the VP come from Minnesota, which is kind of like a state where it's very liberal, but it's also a very strong state with law-abiding and other issues. So I feel that this is going to be a problem nationwide in all 50 states. And I think that maybe, you know, some people should decide who they should choose as president, either the performance of former President Donald Trump, or they can give Kamala Harris a try and take a chance. But
well,
most
people are
very afraid to do so.
I got you, Frank. And here's what they're saying. They're actually daring you. We don't want to go back. Well, a lot of people are saying I do want to go back. A stronger border, peace in the world, stronger economy, and no COVID. You had a pretty good presidency. He was going to coast to re-election despite all the trumped up and the really they are fake. They were fake, fake crises and fake scandals. Thanks, Frank. Just so you know, homicides in Minnesota between 2018 and 2023 up 132%. Between 2019 and 2023 up 50%. When it comes to burglaries, they're down. Good. Motor vehicle theft up 163%. Robberies up. Robberies up 100% in the state under him. So this is the law and order that he says he brings. He says crime was running rampant during the Trump administration. Okay, you know what? No offense, Governor, but I lived it. We don't have to go ask our grandparents. That's all in all of our lifetimes. So we can make our own judgment. And I'm pretty sure you're wrong. And most people say, you say crime is down now. You go to any city like Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, the Philadelphia where you're in. You ask people if the crime's down. You go to Washington, D.C. and say, oh, I hear the crime's down. They will laugh in your face. So President Trump was on with us this morning about this new pairing. And he says, I know Waltz. And this is who he compares him to. Cut 41.
If you look at his record with no walls, no security, let everybody in, he's worse than they are. You know, nobody knew how radical left she was, but he's a smarter version of her, if you want to know the truth. He's probably about the same as Bernie Sanders. He's probably more so than Bernie Sanders. She is more so than Bernie Sanders. That's got to be your guide, Bernie Sanders, and it's not a great guide. But there's never been a ticket like this.
Yeah, there hasn't been. So you know what J.D. Vance just did? He just took questions. So he gave a speech about 15 minutes, 20 minutes in, he's in Wisconsin. No, he's in Michigan, excuse me. And then he took questions. Nobody was told what to ask. He said, I want Michigan reporters to ask. They asked some tough questions. And then it came to military service. And he thought it was unbelievable that Governor Waltz mocked his military service and the fact that he went from poverty to the Marines to Ohio State and then on to an Ivy League school. And this is what he said about the military service. Let's listen.
You know what really bothers me about Tim Waltz as a Marine who served his country in uniform? When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do it, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go.
You still want to debate him? Listen, I don't love J.D. Vance's foreign policy. You know how I felt. I think Ukraine is worth it. It doesn't matter. He's not my running mate. But you doubt his intellect, ability to go deep on issues at your own peril. Listen to him at length. And this is probably what Trump heard. I mean, this guy's quicker. He's actually better in many ways at defending Donald Trump and bringing back his record than Donald Trump himself. So, Brian, you're listening in Ohio. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, it's funny. So you just mentioned Vance, but I was on earlier when the person on commented about the name calling.
And, you want to stop too, right?
Yeah. You know, we need to be, because we are. We're the they need to be the adult in the room.
Yep.
Stop calling names. Stand on their policies, because they are much better. But people on both sides are tired of this. My dad was a World War II vet. He's probably spinning in his grave looking what's going on right now. You know, I love the fact that J.D. served. He obviously, his story is unique. The country was a lot better under Trump. And the people that are my age, I'm 62, need to be concerned what's going on. That the left will tax the living you know what out of us, and it's already, when you figure everything, we're probably already taxed at 50%. When you think about everything you're taxed on and taxed on again, I mean, I don't know how people survive with what's going on.
Listen, I know what you're saying, especially with all this wasted money. You know, it's bad enough. Like, for example, let's say you're successful in life. Do you realize you're giving 47 to 50% of your money back in taxes? And then that's without the state taxes. And that's with everything else you're spending. And yet you have a party, and I can't say it's Republicans, who are vilifying you and saying you're getting away without paying your fair share. When the top 10% pay 80% of the taxes, the top 1% pay 45% of the taxes. And then you look where the money's going, and I'm going, wait a second, our military is still underfunded. Our Social Security and Medicare are heading to a crash. So, Brian, I appreciate your frustration. I would love everyone to stop the name calling. You're 100% right. And that's not weird. Don't move.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade. More to know. Sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacists.
She's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know, she's Indian. She's black. She's everything. You can be more than one thing. It's incredible. You know, I'm Jewish and Irish. I wish I was black. Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black.
The day that President Biden stepped down, the most glorious act of generosity and patriotism, I went out and bought 100 Kamala t-shirts, and I will not take them off until she's in that White House.
That's Rosie O'Donnell, and Ben Stiller wants to be black. I didn't know every Jewish person wanted to be black. Is that true?
I actually asked Justin. He said that wasn't true.
That's not true. So Justin is not. You're Jewish?
Justin, he is a white Jewish man, yes.
And you're Jewish, so you're the one guy that doesn't want to be black. This is fantastic. I didn't know that. Rosie O'Donnell, by the way, is getting dumber. Is that possible?
I know.
Justin, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, I am a white Jewish man, and it's never came across my head that I want to be black. So I don't know where Ben Stiller got that from.
So wait a second, you're an anomaly. Do you know other white Jewish men that don't
I know
want to
a ton
be
of white Jewish
they
men.
They don't want to be black.
I've met I know a ton of right. white Jewish men. None of them have ever told me that they want to be black.
Is right. that a topic of conversation on the regular?
No, but I will ask them when I get home today.
All right. They're fantastic. I wish I was funnier. Then I would have been able to be on that call and be part of the supporters of Kamala Harris. They have all these sections of people getting together to vote for Kamala Harris. Best of luck. I think Donald Trump deserves an assist on that, because whatever's not Trump, they like.
From the Fox News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan, it's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everyone. Brian Kilmeade coming to you from Midtown Manhattan, heard around the country, around the world. Yes, a state, which, by the way, Donald Trump, according to the Siena poll, has 51% of the Jewish vote to 50 to 49 for Kamala Harris. First time I can remember. And that was a Siena poll. Pretty impressive. He still has hopes of winning over the state. And we still don't really know the impact of the Harris ticket now that it's got Waltz. It's only been hours. I mean, less than 24 hours since the very liberal governor from Minnesota with a controversial past has got the job and gotten on the ticket. One reason he got the job, reportedly, was that he said, I don't want to be president. Well, even though he looks like he's 70, he's actually 60. And in 8 years, it's she, in the perfect scenario where she's president for 8 years, I'm pretty sure he would go back on that. But is he going to be the type of governor? Is he going to be the type of person on the ticket that will help counterbalance a very liberal vice president who is wants to be president? And the answer is absolutely not. Josh Shapiro would have done that. Mark Kelly would have done that. He will not do this if you look at his record. Now, the football coach who's from the Midwest, who has Midwest values and grew up on a farm, oh, that's where the moderate stuff ends. Because if you look at his policies as a governor, he looks more like Gavin Newsom. Actually, might even be to the left of Gavin Newsom. With us right now is Michael Schellenberger. You see him on Substack. He's got a great column worth subscribing to. The latest column is Apocalypse Never. He's also talking about his latest article is Smugness and Nice Guyism Behind Tim Walz, BLM Riot, COVID Snitch Line, and Gender Mistreatment Scandals. So that is the other side. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
So originally we wanted to book you and I was bothering you and you were camping. My fault. I apologize. I wanted to talk to you about the Kamala Harris you knew as DA and AG and senator. Now I can openly expand it more and say, how is the politics in California similar to Minnesota? And what did you discover about Governor Tim Walz?
Well, it's a bit like you said. He's a lot like Gavin Newsom. I mean, there is a way in which there's this sort of cookie-cutter, progressive, Democratic governor. I looked at these three big issues that I think are the biggest controversies for him. The first is that Walz waited 3 days to get the National Guard out to put down the BLM riots and stop the rioting. That's a really long time. Obviously, in a real emergency, you can mobilize the National Guard very quickly, within hours. So that was pretty unacceptable. And then the second one was he did a what they call a snitch line, where literally thousands of people wrote into the government. I was on you know, through the internet to complain about people during COVID that were outside often, but not wearing masks. That's the kind of stuff you would see under communism. You know, that's not the American way. We really don't want to be narking on each other like that. And then the third one, which is the ongoing gender medical mistreatment where children with psychiatric disorders, including just anxiety, sometimes ones that are highly treatable, through just, you know, talking it out or waiting. These kids are getting drugs and surgeries in a really crazy, crazy effort to change their sex or gender. And he sort of doubled down on it last year, which was coming at a time when European governments have been actually going in the opposite direction and restricting them, including Britain, which has banned puberty blockers.
Yeah.
I think you look at all of them and there's a sense in which, you know, on the one hand, I mean, there's a sort of progressive view of we're going to take care of everybody. Care is the most important thing. But then that means that actually he won't stand up. He either is in favor of these very radical policies or he won't stand up to the people demanding
them. I think you point out three big things that are important. People might love that. Oh, I love the trans care. Fantastic. I want to be able to give school lunches and breakfast to every student, even if they got the money to get their own breakfast. So if I'm my tax dollars, that wouldn't please me. But maybe people in Minnesota are really pleased by that. And with the National Guard, they say that you misconstrue what the National Guard is. Some of these are 19-year-old cooks. Excuse me? So you don't call out the National Guard? You have that little confidence in the National Guard? You don't even want to call them out? That, to me, makes absolutely no sense. And then his wife comes out and makes a statement. She loved the smell of burning tires, and she opened up the window because she thinks society needed it. So that's what he's been saying up until now. This is what he was saying before he got this assignment as a running mate. I mean, is he going to stay with that?
Well, I think what you're the pushback, it's so bad. In other words, that's not the argument that you shouldn't call the National Guard because the National Guard's not prepared. Well, that's a separate problem. But of course, it's not true. I mean, you have a National Guard there to mobilize in emergency. That's what they're there for. So, yeah, they're not going to want to talk about these things. I mean, you notice Democrats aren't talking about this gender medical mistreatment scandal, which is continuing and worsening in the United States while they're going in the opposite direction in Europe. They don't want to talk about that. That's happening right now. Obviously, COVID and the BLM riots is in the past. But I think it gets at his character, which is a character which is somebody that when somebody plays to your emotions, and I say this as somebody that's had been on the left for most of my life, including the radical left, and now I'm much more moderate. You know, that's the weakness of progressives, is that they will give in to people that have a sob story, you know, to put it bluntly, and then they'll agree to do pretty crazy things, like not call out the National Guard or, you know, let doctors do, you know, irreversible surgeries and drugs on kids, because somebody comes along with an emotional story and then they're sort of not intellectually equipped to argue against it. And they want to be the nice guy. I think that's the Governor Walz, you know, Governor Walz is someone who wants to be the nice guy, wants to be the friendly guy. And that's really great when you're the coach or the teacher. That's not great when you're somebody that has the responsibility about whether or not we go to war, how to respond to terrorist attacks, what to do if there's riots.
And by the way, I don't know if we pulled it yet, but J.D. Vance just commented on his military service. But I want you to first hear what Tim Walz said in 2020. About why these riots were happening with the George Floyd. Cut 9.
We saw large, peaceful protests focusing on the systemic changes that get to the heart of why we're in this situation. And when I say we, Minneapolis-St. Paul, the state of Minnesota, nationally, and as we've seen over the last 24 hours, internationally. A society that does not put equity and inclusion at the center of it is certainly going to eventually come to the places where we're at.
All right, so I guess we deserved it. We deserved to burn our cities down. And this is what he said about the National Guard. Cut 8.
I don't think the mayor knew what he was asking for. He wanted the National Guard, and what does that mean? I think to the mayor, yes, I think it's a perception. I'm certainly not questioning that. I think the mayor said, I request the National Guard. Whew, this is great. We're going to have massively trained troops. No, you're going to have 19-year-olds who are cooks in some cases. And what are we going to do and how are we going to use them?
Really? I never thought a group of people could be put down like that by a governor that depends on him so much. If they're that bad, it's up to you to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you heard there, I said the other interesting thing, I listened to a lot of that stuff yesterday, the historical stuff. And, you know, Walz is saying, yeah, at one point he says, we have to get rid of bail, you know, get rid of cash bail. And the reason that we're having all these riots is because we haven't gotten rid of cash bail. And of course, that's like kind of absurd. Like there's nobody that's out there rioting. It's like, I want cash bail removed. But I think, you know, the other part of it was sort of, yeah, it's a sense of white guilt. It's a religion for a lot of progressives. Remember, so if you opt out of Christianity or you're an atheist, you still need some faith, and that's wokeism, and white guilt is a big part of that. And then the people on the radical left, they manipulate it, and they go and say, if you don't go and do these radical policies, like not calling out the National Guard or getting rid of cash bail or letting everybody out of prison and jail or letting people camp on the street or smoke drugs in public, you know, if you don't do those things, then you're a racist and a bad person and effectively the devil. So it's the same as calling somebody a devil in, like, you know, 17th century New England.
So the other thing that Walz has, give him credit, 20 plus years in the National Guard, which is interesting. He is the highest ranking enlisted man in Congress, and he kept it as governor, but he stopped serving. And it was right around the Iraq War started. And this is the story. A lot of people that are in his unit are calling him out for, instead of going to Iraq, instead of going to Iraq, just saying, I'm out, I retire. J.D. Vance took this idea, Michael. He actually took questions, not scripted, from the media, for the second straight day. This is the question he got, and this is how he answered it.
You know what really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform? When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go.
And he called him out last night on the stage. He said, well, what Marine goes to the Ivy Leagues after that? As if that's a bad thing. It just the world is upside down. But he left himself open for that attack. And now that was just 10 minutes ago. So that is going to resonate with maybe not from Trump, but for the guy that was over there like J.D.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's not a comparison I think they're going to want to make. I have to say, I'm not sure that this decision was. You know, I think they knew it would be neutral for them, for Kamala Harris and her team. I think, as you said, it was a decision made out of insecurity. I mean, that's the thing that you worry about, is that he's obviously weak and gives into, you know, either is radical left or gives into radical left activists. She's also kind of insecure. I mean, you know, you're the president of the United States. You don't need to worry about being overshadowed by your vice president. And yet that appears to have been one of the motivations. Along with, you know, surely there could be some genuine chemistry there, too. But, I mean, Josh Shapiro is somebody that could have delivered the state of Pennsylvania to the Democrats. And she ended up going with a guy with a much more controversial record. I think that shows that she's insecure. And that's, again, that's just not what you want in the commander in chief.
So who's the Kamala Harris that you know?
Well, I think the thing about Kamala is that, you know, she ran as a tough on crime prosecutor against a very left wing prosecutor, or someone that appeared to be left wing in the 90s, now looks like a moderate, you know, and then she'd come into office and she'd really just go back and forth and sort of, you know, what they do, what often people, you know, they'll do in California, and Jerry Brown set the mold, is you'll do something that's liberal and something that's considered more moderate. I think if you look at what happens after 2015, she just becomes a lot more, you know, on the radical left. And, you know, that's, I mean, I think the stuff that you know, it's really, she does, you know, she was attorney general of the entire state. Then she was the senator, and then she was the vice president. And during that period, you know, homelessness in California increased 40%. And crime is now violent crime in California is now 31% higher than the national average. I think the media sets the agenda, and they have not been wanting to get into it. But I mean, that's really bad. You know, California has the 30% higher violent crime than the rest of the country. That's according to the main liberal think tank in California. And she didn't, not only was she didn't do anything about it, she actually contributed to it with a bunch of the soft on crime, you know, sort of, you know, guilt-based policies that resulted in this terrible crime spree, which, of course, ends up hurting the communities that Democrats say they care the most about.
So Michael Schellenberger, our guest. Michael, now we have a report out that things are so bad financially for California that Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, came out with a column saying that California is about to go belly up. They are between $25 and $45 billion, depending on who's doing the math, in debt. And they're going to be beginning to cut programs like prisons, homeless programs, subsidized housing. How did things get so bad? And do you predict a calamitous close to Governor Newsom's reign there?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that has kept California afloat, as everybody knows, is tech, you know, what we call tech, but is, you know, digital, internet, social media, AI. So the question is sort of, are all the AI companies going to come here? Now, you saw Elon Musk, you know, because of the crazy gender medical mistreatment scandal, has pulled out of California. You know, if you lose, you know, and he's, you know, kind of a, he's the biggest, he's the richest person in the world. You know, he owns SpaceX, Tesla. I mean, so if you start losing your entrepreneurs, then you can no longer sustain this really bloated, you know, the taxes are just absurdly high. You can't, the only reason they can charge those taxes and have such terrible, terrible service in California and people dying on the streets and high crime is because we all love the weather. And so people that really love the weather will pay this really high premium. But at the end of the day, if your businesses flee and you can't generate the amount of money you need in taxes to keep this really bloated system afloat, then of course it will collapse, and it could collapse much sooner than 25 years. I mean, yeah. So the question would just be, you know, if this, you know, it's really about whether or not we have the proper public safety to keep the businesses that are fleeing the state.
Yeah, I just think it's unbelievable that it is over and over again. We're seeing it. The cities run by liberal Democrats, the states run by liberal governors are high taxed, high crime. I mean, it's a combination. I would think the party's got to reform or the Republican Party's got to get off their butt and start trying to win some seats back, because we do know they're winning some congressional seats, or else the Republicans wouldn't have their thin margin in the House. They did it through New York and California. I'm wondering if it's going to be some main offices. We'll have to see. Michael, thanks so much. Glad you had a great camping trip. Good to see you back in action.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
You got it. 1-866-408-7669. I got some call. Every line's full. I'll try to get to them when we come back.
Hear the ins and outs of the 2024 election right here. The Brian Kilmeade Show. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
So Letitia James called into Comedies for Comics for Kamala, and it's hysterical. Here's the one who takes great pride in going after Donald Trump and the NRA and all these other things that are only politically oriented. She's not going for justice. She's going for fame. Here she is trying to work her Zoom mute.
Up next, Attorney General Letitia James. Welcome, Attorney General. We're going to have you unmute for us. Just unmute. I think you're muted.
Yep.
Here we go. Try it again. Oh, try it again.
Wait, bottom left on the screen.
This is unbelievable. That's Paul.
So why don't we jump? Wait,
it's not even done yet. She couldn't do it. Oh, my God, that's Paul Mercurio. He used to come on the show a long time ago, big Trump hater now. But he was trying to get Letitia James to unwork her mute. Aren't you feel better that she's fighting for justice for all of us?
Oh, it's amazing.
Quick note. Did you hear Juan Merzan will decide by tomorrow if he's going to recuse himself from the Trump case? You know, sentencing's on hold. You know why? His daughter worked for Harris. And now Harris went from on the ticket, not that it should have mattered, to now being the number one. Now he's going to consider backing out.
Just considering.
But by tomorrow. Now, maybe somebody else is going to look at the immunity thing in this case and say, this thing was, a lot of the stuff was signed and these things took place when he was already in office. That could play into it.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
The more police are there, the more tension it is. The more tension it is, the more chance you have to get things.
Protecting and supporting access to gender-affirming health care is essential.
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder.
We saw large, peaceful protests focusing on the systemic changes.
So that is a little of Tim Walz, where 7 out of 10 people listening to me right now around the country, according to a recent survey, I don't doubt it, don't even know who he is. Governor of Minnesota. Do the people of Minnesota know who he is? Could they help us out? What about people that work with him? They certainly can. Julia Coleman's one of them, Minnesota State Senator. Julia, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First off, what was your interaction like with the governor?
So I can tell you I've gotten a front row seat to who exactly Governor Tim Walz is, and I have seen our state plummet. We've literally seen it burn under Tim Walz. We lost Minneapolis due to the George Floyd riots that he let get out of hand. In 1 year with the Democratic trifecta, he increased spending in Minnesota by 40 8% without giving any of it back to taxpayers. In fact, he increased taxes by over $10 billion. I mean, America's got to get ready to hold on to their wallets. This is a man being portrayed. I watched all the media coverage yesterday as this middle of the road, aw shucks, Minnesotan, but he's almost a socialist. He's taken every single policy in Minnesota, every hot issue, every social issue to the most extreme version possible. And it's been heart-wrenching watching Minnesota become a cold California under Governor Walz.
But he originally had a Republican legislature, right? Or at least one body. And now it's all Democrat. How did he change when that changed?
When we were in the majority, the Minnesota Senate Republicans were, we were able to block abortion up through all 9 months, tax increases, children being taken away from their parents to get transition treatment. We were able to block all of that because we forced him to work with Republicans. And what we learned is if he doesn't have to, he won't. We tried reaching our hand out across the aisle under the Democratic trifecta, and that hand got slapped away repeatedly. In fact, in the final hours of session, after Republicans debated over 24 hours, Tim Walz and the Democrats passed a 1,480-page bill that no one had read, with more tax increases, more policies harming our schools and our state. The way he runs things is unacceptable, and I'm fearful for America with him in the White House.
What has he done for your surplus in the state?
What surplus?
You used to have one, right?
We did. We used to have almost an $18 billion surplus. And when he spent a 40% increase in spending in the state of Minnesota, did taxpayers see that? No. We saw that go back into the government. In fact, they're building a massive palace for politicians at the tune of $750 million.
So when people say he's a folksy football coach, middle of the road guy, why are they trying to characterize him like that? And why is your characterization so different?
I think with somebody as far left and from California as Vice President Harris, they need to put a aw shucks hunter Midwestern guy in there that's middle of the road to balance her out. But those of us in Minnesota who have seen his policies have had a front row seat know that he is borderline a socialist. And now she's created the most far left ticket the Democratic Party has ever seen. This ticket makes Obama look like a moderate.
Here's what Kamala Harris described him. Cut five.
To the people of southern Minnesota, for 12 years he was congressman. To his former high school students, he was Mr. Walz. And to his former high school football players, he was coach.
They love that characterization.
They do, but it couldn't be further from the truth. When you see policies that he's championing and cheering, in Minnesota, a baby moments from birth can be slaughtered in the womb. We have had it so that, for example, my father, if he really was a hunter, as he says, my father can't loan my brother a shotgun for the weekend to go hunting anymore in the state of Minnesota. I have far less members of this state reaching out to me, my constituents saying, I can't afford any more of these tax increases, but he does it anyways. This is not a middle of the road man.
So, you know, one of the reasons why Governor Shapiro wasn't picked is because he's Jewish and he's pro-Israel. There's no doubt about it. Even Van Jones said the same thing. How does he deal with the Muslim community? How does he deal with the anti-Semitism that we're seeing everywhere?
He does nothing. And we have a very strong Somali population in the Twin Cities, in Minneapolis in particular. And he did nothing to when the University of Minnesota had Jewish students fearful to go on campus. He did nothing. And as the mother of Jewish children, that was incredibly disturbing to me. Minnesota had no proclamation saying that we stand with Israel. There was no reaching out to the Jewish community to say, hey, what can I do to make you feel safe in the state of Minnesota? I don't think he will be a strong supporter for our brothers and sisters in Israel.
Minnesota State Senator Julia Coleman's here. Julia, when it comes to illegals, you guys are really backwards. State-funded health care, driver's license for all, free college tuition for illegal immigrants. Are you kidding?
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you heard him in that clip. If you're going to build a 25-foot wall, I'm going to invest in a 30-foot ladder. And we're also seeing in Minnesota proposals to make Minnesota a sanctuary state. essentially saying, come here and we aren't going to hand you over to the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing in the state.
How did he get reelected?
That's a very good question. We've seen the Democrat machine come out in full force in Minnesota. We've seen them see that the state of Minnesota is absolutely in play, and they invest millions and millions in our races here. And we don't always see the same investment from the other side of the aisle. And so what we're hoping for and what I'm seeing from President Trump's team is that that's changing. We are seeing investment. In fact, Trump's team is coming to Minnesota tomorrow to promote election integrity and getting out the vote. We are seeing investment in Minnesota so that we can stop it from going further and further socialist.
So this quote from the George Floyd riots when your city was literally burning is from his wife, Gwen. She said, quote, I could smell the burning tires. That was the very thing that I kept the windows open as long as I could because I felt that was such a touchstone of what was happening. She thought it was a good thing that these rioters were burning tires. She wanted it in the house.
I used to be Miss Minneapolis, and I represented that city with so much pride. And I'm also the daughter of a law enforcement officer. And I don't think it was a good thing as I was glued to my phone praying that my dad would come home that night. And what they did to Minneapolis, letting our third precinct burn, what they have done to the law enforcement community in Minneapolis, who is short hundreds of officers. People today will tell you, I represent a suburban district. We don't go to Minneapolis anymore. It's horrible what's happened. And now he's going to do that to America. I really hope that the voters get to know who he truly is, see this ticket for the far left ticket that it is, and reject it.
I would hope so. I mean, some of the things it highlights, you got 1995, got a DUI. And number two, his handling of the Black Lives Matter riots people point to. His COVID-19 lockdowns we have not talked about, but the you guys were as restricted as anyone.
We weren't able to go to bars, to restaurants. You couldn't get your hair cut in the state of Minnesota. And he said, yes, there's help coming. We're going to use COVID dollars. Well, what we're seeing under Governor Tim Walz's leadership is one of the most massive misuse of COVID funds in the nation, not to mention under Governor Tim Walz, this is a pattern. We had a $250 million Feeding Our Future scandal where money that was supposed to go to hungry children went to scam artists in the state of Minnesota. The waste, fraud, and abuse that happens here, even when he shuts down our entire state, is mind-blowing.
You know, what's amazing, too, is with this abortion stance, he immediately in 2023 signed into law legislation that includes no limits on when a woman could end the life of an unborn baby. And I know this is gruesome, but I think people should know it. They say 5 infants were born alive in 2021 during failed abortions, and none were provided life-saving care, though 2 got comfort care and still died. That, according to the Department of Health, that was reported July 1st, 2022. That's in Minnesota.
That's in Minnesota, and that was their first priority once they got the Democratic trifecta. And in regards to the number of babies that have survived or passed away from botched abortions or being born alive, well, their solution to that was they stopped the reporting. That was the bill they passed. They passed away born alive protection, saying that we had to protect babies that survived abortions, and they also took away funding for pregnancy resource centers. They're not pro-choice. They're pro-abortion at this point.
I know. And what about, I don't know if you know anything about this, but he loves China. Tim Walz fawned over China. He went over and taught school there, part of a Harvard program, Harvard Word Tech program. He taught high school there. Walz did, along with his wife. Been back 30 times. Just knowing what China's become and how they try to infiltrate us in every pass, that worries me.
That worries me, too. I think that there has to be a lot of conversations with the media asking what his stances are on foreign policy and taking a good look at what he did to the state of Minnesota, to our spending, to the fact that people are fleeing and migrating out of Minnesota faster than almost any other state in the nation. They have to be asked tough questions. And he made a comment about J.D. Vance being on the couch yesterday. Well, J.D. Vance was actually taking unscripted questions from the media. When is that going to happen on the other side?
Yeah, and J.D. Vance went after your guy. Listen to him talk about his use of weapons. He was bragging that I don't want to use the weapons I use at war at home. Listen.
I also think it's dishonest. Something, again, if you guys ever get an opportunity to ask Tim Walz or Kamala Harris some questions, he made this interesting comment. that the Kamala Harris campaign put out there, and I bet they're regretting they put it out there now, because he said that we, and he was making a point about gun control, he said we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? When was this, what was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq, and he has not spent a day in a combat zone?
So that's a problem. Look, I appreciate his service, but you can't extrapolate it on it and bring in untruths.
Correct. And in Minnesota, we have a very far left reaching media. And so I think that it's almost good that some sunshine is going to be on this entire Tim Walz situation in his background, because Minnesota media sure as heck isn't going to look into it.
Thanks so much, Julia. You guys got to start winning election, get some power back in Minnesota, because I know Trump still thinks he can win it.
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, thanks for having me.
Go get him. And stay warm. I know it's August, but it gets cold quick. 25 minutes out before the top of the hour. I shouldn't say that. I should say the actual time, 17 minutes before the top of the hour. I'll come back, take some calls, see if there's more to know, and bring back the latest sound. Again, J.D. Vance just answered questions for 30 minutes. He spoke for 25, most of it off prompter. Why can't anybody on the left take questions? And if you do get questions about your record, back it up. Tell us what you were thinking. Don't run from it. At some point, you got to at least write down what you're going to do if you get into office.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I would say my reaction is I can't believe it. I never thought this was going to be the one that was picked. I know him a little bit. I helped him very much during the riots because his house was surrounded. And he called me back and he thanked me very much. That's my only thing I ever had to do with him. He's a very, very liberal man, and he's a shocking pick, and I'm thrilled. I could not be more thrilled.
And that is because Tim Walz is the running mate of Governor Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, as President Biden is MIA. He wasn't on the stage, not mentioned. We don't even know where he is in the White House. I mean, this next 4 months is going to be bad for our country. And then we got to just have this on top of that. But it's basically a dead heat right now. That was President Trump feeling pretty confident. Well, but he's got to get through and he's got to keep his powder dry and keep calm through the DNC, because they're going to be destroying him every chance they get. And they got to have to listen to them being teed off on. For President Trump, I'd watch as little as possible. I'd get ready for the debates. He says he's going to get something going with the debate soon. And it looks like they're in some type of talk, so you don't want to give up too much information. But he hasn't even ruled out going on ABC, even though he's in litigation with ABC. Quick thing, as I brought up earlier, with his court case with Juan Merchan that got him 34 convictions, it looks like he is waiting on sentencing in September. Juan Merchan might recuse himself. He's going to decide by tomorrow. Why? Because his daughter, who's a Democratic operative, who is a consultant, worked for Kamala Harris. That still wasn't enough. But now that she is the nominee, and of course he's sentencing her main opponent, doesn't that look terrible? Of course it does. Could that be the beginning of the overturning of those 34 indictments? And by the way, the stuff that came out about the first gentleman, the second gentleman who wants to be the first gentleman, Doug Emhoff, whatever his last name is, they should watch when they start talking about Stormy Daniels, what they think happened with the former president, because him and the babysitter and all that stuff that they put out on Friday really nullifies any attack on the former president's personal life prior to him getting into politics. Hey, Debbie, you're in Delaware. Hey, Debbie.
How are you, Brian? I just thought I'd give you a little update in looking for our current president.
Yes.
He will be right here in Rehoboth Beach from tomorrow until Monday.
Really? Does he know the Middle East is about to explode?
Well, he does his best thinking in Rehoboth, apparently.
How do you know? Because this huge presence, Secret Service presence?
Beginning to see them come in now. And also, if you look on the temporary flight restrictions, you'll see that the information is all there for the public to see.
Yeah. I mean, why did he want the job so bad if he's never there? It's just crazy. Kurt, you're in Pennsylvania. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Brian. I keep hearing Tim Walz say what some people call socialism, I call neighborliness.
Yep.
And that's just gaslighting. If I reach into my pocket voluntarily and I give a dollar to a homeless person because that's the right thing to do, that's neighborliness. When the government reaches in my pocket and takes a dollar of tax money, gives 30 cents to somebody who's poor, and keeps 70 for the bureaucracy, that's socialism. He's just doing what most liberals do, is they're just trying to redefine, and socialism is not neighborliness, it's theft.
And you heard that exact quote, Kurt. You're not making it up. You're not paraphrasing. He actually said that. And he said it not a long time ago, 1 week ago. And he said it on those white dudes for Kamala.
Yeah. So, and he said it in his speech yesterday. But yeah, he keeps repeating it, and it's just trying to redefine terms and make us think that socialism is the same thing as neighborliness.
Thanks a lot, Kurt. Appreciate it. So, Allison, you say Ryan Reynolds has got a movie coming out. How does that relate to something that's amusing?
Oh, we're not going to have time here. We're going to tease this for tomorrow. So actually, he's out like the Deadpool versus Wolverine right now. But his wife, Blake Lively, has a big movie coming out that's based on a best-selling book, and it's very emotional. She's all into it. But there was a junket with her love interest in the movie. And when another reporter was supposed to come in, Ryan Reynolds snuck in and started the interview talking about the love scenes with his wife. So tomorrow's show, we'll play some of that for you.
Right. He's a pretty funny guy.
He's amazing.
Right. Is this his first wife or his second?
It's actually at least a second. He was married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, and that didn't go well, evidently.
I mean, they ended up divorced, so yeah, it didn't go great.
Right. So I think they're all going to be okay. I mean, like, when they're that rich, is the settlement even a big deal?
Well, I think
deal?
They're both in happy marriages now with very successful spouses.
You don't think there's any lingering...
I do not. I don't think
Can you
so.
Find out?
I'll look into that.
You have a
I'll
day.
I'll call my sources.
You have a complete day.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.